Our text are the words that we have just heard read. As we think about that text, the idea of the watchman, a number of you have been in Jerusalem, but picture yourself on those walls in Jerusalem, looking into the city at the people there inside, looking out at the Mount of Olives, at the Valley of Kidron, the other valley of Gehenna. You can see for a long, long way. And when we think of the hymn that we have just sung, we realize that the watchman sees Christ coming. The watchman sees that full redemption, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But this text focuses it another way. And I want to look at just that little phrase which says, Son of Man, I have made you a watchman. Who is that man? As we look carefully at the text, we say, well, this is Ezekiel. This is a special man that's set aside by God. Commentators, Luther included, have said in another sense, it's every Christian. But I think for us here in the chapel this morning, it is particularly those of us who are pastors, professors, and those of us who are about to be pastors. Why does he say Son of Man? At this point, he's reminding each of us that we are mortal. Some translations actually say mortal man. We are subject to death. It's a universal inheritance from the time of Adam and Eve. It's not just the evil things we do, but it's the sinful condition, the condition of wickedness that we are in by our very nature. So as we define that man, as we define ourselves in terms of this text, it's that we're mortal. We are not immortal. Then as we look back to the first verses of that chapter 3, we see the cure. It says, eat the scroll. In other words, the Word of God. That Word of God, together with the Spirit that's always with the Word, working as that Word is heard, producing faith within us and a life of faith within us. That's the cure for our mortality. Picture it for a minute. You're going through it all the time, memorizing that Word of God, internalizing that Word of God. During these last weeks, I've had about 5 theological examinations. And each time one of you comes in, you're saying, what are going to be the questions? Have I remembered the right things? Have I internalized the right things? And so important it is for us to have gotten it inside of us, not only here into our minds, but also into our hearts. And as we've gone through those theological examinations, it becomes clear for each of us that we're still in this business of the old man and the new man. Even though we are forgiven, there's the need to daily drown that old man in contrition and repentance so that that new person in us, that new man, can come forth and arise in our life. And that process in this same third chapter of Ezekiel is called it tasting as sweet as honey. And I'm sure some of you might say it doesn't always taste exactly as sweet as honey. But that's the biblical picture. And isn't it true, as the Word of God comes to us, I remember the time when we got an easy-to-understand translation of the Scripture in 1971 when we were in California. I came home for lunch, and I couldn't find my wife. She was sitting in the backyard consuming the Word of God. It was so sweet. It tasted like honey to her. She couldn't even think about physical food at a time like that. Why is it honey? Because it gives us the joy of our salvation. It helps us know that we are free from the guilt of sin. The wages of sin is death. It makes us know that we are free from death. It makes us know that we have heaven as our home, freely given to us, our inheritance. But the purpose of all of this, according to Ezekiel 3, is not just for ourselves. It is beyond ourselves. We are to internalize it so that we may repeat it, so that we may reproduce it. And in verse 3, it tells us there that we are to go and speak it. Tell the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. Sing his praises to all the nations, to the furthest part of the world. And so in terms of the sermon we had here several days ago, in which we were talking about the sowing of the seed, we can see, yes, this is very important, sowing the seed on all kinds of soil and all kinds of places for everyone to hear. But sowing is not enough. It means we too have to swallow it daily. We too have to taste it. We have to internalize it daily. In Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I've known pastors and would-be pastors who have worked so hard at sowing it that they've forgotten to swallow it. They've forgotten to get the comfort of their own salvation themselves. But this is a most interesting text because it goes further than that too. It says it's not enough to go and tell. It's not enough to internalize yourself. You must be a watchman. And it's easy enough for us to say, well, I've preached the gospel. I've proclaimed the gospel. It's the work of the Spirit from then on. What does the text say? Yes, it is the work of the Spirit, but there's another part for us to do, and that is to be a watchman. What does it mean? We don't think much about it. We travel around our world as though it were a very safe and secure world. At least we used to. Now we'd say certain parts of our towns are not secure. And we have to take care. We have to be on watch. For 22 years, we lived in a part of the world where when people went out to their fields, they didn't just go by themselves. They went in groups because they knew there were other people living on the other side of those fields, on the other side of no man's land. People that sometimes felt they gained spiritual power by taking the heads of Yala people. So they went in groups, and the man in front was very watchful. He was a watchman. And the one in back was very watchful. He was a watchman, looking for danger. And there was one in the middle, too, if the group was big, that was specially a watchman to see what was going on, alert to the situation. What kind of situation is this text talking about? It's talking about the internal situation that each one of us has, the recognition of our inherited condition of sin, of wickedness, the alertness to the fact that we're covered by the righteousness of Christ, and that from his point of view, God looks at us as perfect. But yet at the same time, under that perfect gown of righteousness, there is ourself, a saint in God's eyes, but a sinner still because of where we came from and how we were born, the struggle between the old and the new. We need to be alert to that inner business. That's part of being a watchman. Even as the watchman stands on the tower, he thinks about this in himself. The second external part is the devil, a roaring lion, who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And how does he do it? He does it by connecting up with the old man in us, by leading us away from the walk of faith, until finally there's a rejection of that God who has bought us in Jesus Christ. Let's look closer at some of the words now. That word there in verse 18, which says, and here God is speaking, when I announce that the evil or the wicked man is going to die and you do not warn him to change his ways so that he can be saved, he will die, still a sinner, and I will hold you responsible for his death. Think of yourself in the pastoral ministry. That's what it means. It doesn't only mean to stand in the pulpit. It doesn't only mean to have Bible class. It means to be a watchman for those people. Very important in the Old Testament is the exegesis of this word wicked or evil. We can immediately say, well, he cheated on his income tax. He speeded in his car. That's not particularly what this text is talking about, because we see from Psalm 9:17 and from many, many other places in the Old Testament that wickedness means rejection of God. That's what it means. When I announce that a man who has rejected God is going to die, and you don't warn him to change his ways so that he can be saved, he will die, still a sinner, but I will hold you responsible for his death. And I can see some of you getting up and saying, maybe I don't want to be in pastoral ministry. It's heavy. It's heavy. Then there's a second verse, 20. If a truly good man starts doing evil, in other words, one who has received Christ as his Savior, starts doing evil, he begins rejecting God, and I put him in a dangerous situation, he will die if you do not warn him. He will die because of his sin. Not only what he's doing today, but because of his separation from Christ. And I will hold you responsible for his death if you do not warn him. If he listens to you and turns away from evil, from rejecting God, he will stay alive, and your life also will be spared. That's really what pastoral ministry is all about, is it's taking that message of forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, to people who have rejected God, so that they may repent of that rejection, so that they may receive that message of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and that they may be righteous, and that they may live righteous lives. I wonder, does it apply in the homes of our professors? Does it apply in our dormitories here? Are people sometimes walking away from God to the point where they actually also are rejecting him? Hebrews talks about this in chapter 5 and 6. I'd like to read just a very short portion of that. 6, 7, 11, and 12. God blesses the soil which drinks in the rain. We remember from Isaiah 52, rain talks about the word of God. That often falls on it, which grows plants that are useful to those for whom it is cultivated. But if it grows thorns and weeds, it is worth nothing. It is in danger of being cursed by God and will be destroyed by fire. Our great desire, then, is that each one of you keep up his eagerness to the end, so that the things you hope for will come true. We do not want you to become lazy, but to be like those who believe and are patient, and so receive what God has promised. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God and Father, we remember the first commandment. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And we know that worship leads to service. It leads to an integrated life of oneness and work with and for you, dear Lord. May the joy of our salvation so move us in that way. May our regular swallowing the word of God, internalizing it, making it part of ourselves, making it sweet, so that we can rejoice in what we receive from you, move us to live a life of service for you, O Lord God. May we never move away and reject what we have received by works of lawlessness. We pray that you will guide us by your Spirit throughout our life to be that kind of a watchman, sensitive, helpful to others, to show them their salvation, to show them also when they're moving away from that salvation, to warn them, to by the power of your Spirit be useful in giving the word so that they may be drawn back close to you. Help us to recognize the seriousness of what it means to be your special watchman as a pastor. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace and peace, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, be and abide with us always. Amen.